It's time to enter Mr. B's neighborhood. Scott Bertelson brings you an interview with a North Iowa neighbor each second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. Find this and other episodes of Mr. B's Neighborhood on our website, KIOW.com. Now here's Scott Bertelson, Mr. B.
Hello out there in Radio Land. Oh yes, it's time again for the further adventures of Mr. B and his adventures in the neighborhood. This is a show where Mr. B likes to interview one of the many, 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 many great people in the North Iowa area, find out more about their lives, and see whether or not you want to sign up to be a member of their fan club. So, without further ado, I have found a lovely young lady tonight that I've known for quite some time, and her name is, drumroll please, thank you, Megan Duncan.
Hello, Mr. B.
Oh, it's Megan Duncan. Well, hello, Megan.
How are you?
I'm good, good, good. Megan, I'm so glad that you could make it because I have known you for a long time. I don't know when you graduated from high school.
20 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Wow, Megan. Wow. Well, anyway, enough of that. So, Megan, you live here in the North Iowa area, specifically where?
Leland.
Leland. We won't give the street address. Like that, but, and what are the benefits of living in Leland?
I grew up there, so it's nice, small town community. I mean, you pretty much don't have to lock doors at all because it's all the same people. It's nice and close to Forest City where I work and do all my after work activities with Brick Street and the Bowman Fine Arts Center.
You are a busy gal.
I am.
Yes, yes, yes. So Megan, graduated 20 years. What happened when you graduated? Where did you go with your life at that point, if you'd like to share with us?
I went to La James for a year for massage therapy. Worked at a salon doing that for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Realized I didn't like it.
Okay.
So just kind of bopped around and did some jobs here and there. Mm-hmm. Was at Pizza Hut for about 10 years till they closed here in town.
They did, didn't they?
They did.
They're not even there at the building.
Nope. It's gone.
Winnebago.
It's all a memory.
We were so lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. And now I've been at the Forest City Vet Clinic for 4 years.
Oh, my goodness.
5 years.
So, you know, the next question I'm going to ask you would be, what are your duties at the vet clinic?
I am the front receptionist, so I get to talk to everybody on the phone, make appointments, and see everybody when they come in and check all the animals in.
Lots and what primarily would be the type of animal that comes into the vet clinic, if that's a fair question?
We see them all. Cats, dogs, cows, goats. It's all been through that door.
They bring cows in?
Yeah. Baby moo-moos, little baby calves.
Oh.
Yep.
But I'm sure the doctors there, they do go to the farm.
Yes. Yep. They make they go do the large animal farm calls at the actual farm.
Okay. Because when I was growing up on a farm, I remember the vet would come.
Yep.
With his happy little truck of drugs and paraphernalia and go from there. So, all right. And goats.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Birds?
Not too many birds. We have seen a duck or two in there. Horses, but they generally don't get to come in. They kind of have to stay outside.
I see.
They're a little too tall.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm sure you have many stories you could probably tell as a receptionist at
yep.
the clinic. So I'm sure it's never a dull moment.
It is not. It is always busy, always on the go.
How many vets are there?
We currently have 2 vets right now. Okay. We are hopefully getting a vet student that is graduating that will be joining the practice this summer. So won't be fully up and running because she'll just be freshly graduated, but she will be a great addition to the team to help spread out the clientele that we have and lighten the load on some of the doctors.
Oh, absolutely. Do you have to do a lot of ordering of things, and is that your job? Or
I get to order the food and then kind of reach out to whoever needs to be reached out for anything else that we need. We all kind of keep track of any of the meds or products that we have. And yep.
And you sell products out there too?
We do. Flea tick, heartworm.
Heartworm.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, you should have brought my order in. Anyway, so I'm really glad that you have that job and you like it there and you get to commune with dogs and cats.
Yeah.
Any ferret?
Yes. Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yep. Ferrets. There's even been some mice and some rabbits.
Okay. I can see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Snakes?
No. No. We don't really do reptiles, which I'm very, very okay with.
Oh. So if I had a pet iguana, which I don't know if that's even legal. I know people have snakes, but I couldn't bring it in.
We wouldn't have the best knowledge for that because we don't specialize with those.
Yes.
There is one over in Mason that does, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Is it called an iguana center?
I don't know what it's called, but they do exotics.
Exotics, that's
yes. Right. Yep.
Kangaroos.
Yeah, yep.
Oh!
Gene's worked with a kangaroo before, so what? I mean, he could, if you got a pet kangaroo, you could call Gene and he'd help you.
Is that something?
Yeah.
Wow. And Gene is still...
He's still there, still kicking.
Isn't that something? Good yep. for him. Yeah, great guy. Well, anyway, Megan, so you are very happily employed there. So tell me about your family. Tell me about your brothers and sisters, your mom and dad. All of that smooth.
I've got a fairly large family. I am one of five.
Yeah.
So I've got older sister, older brother, little sister, little brother.
Yes.
Both my sisters are still here in the area. They've got kids.
Yes.
My youngest brother is down in southern Iowa. They've got a little girl.
Yes.
And my oldest brother is over in Nebraska. He is a Catholic priest. He's been a priest for... Oh, I'm not going to get the year right, but a long time.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Mark.
Marcus. Father Marcus.
Oh, I love that.
Yep.
Oh, that should be a show on TV.
He's had a podcast before.
Oh, my goodness.
When he was living in Omaha.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, you get to see him very often?
A couple times a year we get out there. Yep. He came back here for Christmas.
Okay.
So we try and see him at least a handful of times. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are so lucky to have your family relatively close.
Yep.
To you.
And then, so I've got two cousins that grew up right next door, so they're like sisters.
Okay.
And they both live here in town.
Okay.
And they both have kids, so there's a plethora of nieces and nephews. That are scurrying all around Four City.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, hopefully not early in the morning.
Yeah, yep, they are. Because you got the band kid who, you know, is also in sports. And they start those things so early.
Yes, true. So how many nieces and nephews do you have?
There are three boys and two girls.
Okay.
I had to think of the math. Yeah.
Okay. And you keep in contact with them?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They're all, aside from the littlest one, the little baby. Well, she's not a baby. She's a toddler.
Right.
Down in Clinton. Yeah. But yeah, the other ones there. I keep track of them. I go to any and all events that I'm forced to.
Forced to, that's the key word.
Well, some of them just keep joining new things.
Oh,
so.
I see. Well, you have to have some time for yourself, Megan.
I do, okay. Yes. Yep. Right.
So, anyway. All right, so Megan, you've got a great family. You're happy with that. Tell me about how long you have been affiliated with the Brick Street Community Theater here in town, which, by the way, is probably the greatest community theater in the state of Iowa.
It is.
I am partial.
It is an amazing community theater.
It is.
I have been with Brick Street, for over 6 years, because I started out on the board.
Oh, I see.
And I did tech aspect. I did two terms on the board.
On the board.
And then while being on the board, I then was in a couple of small background roles for plays.
Yes.
And then started doing some other roles where I started out as stage manager.
Yes.
And now I've stage managed multiple handfuls of shows.
Oh.
both at our small space and at the Bowman. Mm. And then I got wrangled by the beautiful Linnea Fredrickson Smith into directing last spring.
Yes.
So I added that feather to my hat and learned a few more tricks to set building while doing that. And thanks to Dan May, I learned how to run the lights and sound.
Oh my goodness.
So I can do a little bit of everything now. Yes, it's all there.
Oh my goodness. That is so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since this is going to be on soon, their upcoming production is Noises Off.
Noises Off, yep.
Now, are you affiliated with that?
Yep, I'm stage managing that.
Oh my goodness, why did I think that would be the
answer?
With
the amazing Dan May.
Oh, he is good.
He is.
I did see on Facebook that you were looking for some kind of apparatus.
Oh, hot water bottle.
Hot water bottle. Any of you folks out there know what that is, remember? Oh my goodness.
From the 1970s.
That when it was?
Yeah.
Okay. What do we use now?
Hot packs.
Okay, hot packs. Okay. That's probably it. So again, I want to ask you, since you have been a stage manager for so many shows, what are the duties of a stage manager? What do you do? Oh, I know a lot.
Yes, and it all kind of depends on the director.
Generally, and the nature of the show, maybe?
Yes, yeah. Generally, when you're in the rehearsal phase, it is taking notes of the rehearsals and getting them sent out to the cast, keeping track of what is still needed for the set, set design, prop pieces, being in contact with the person doing the costumes, making sure we have all that stuff on track. And then once we get down into the final weeks of rehearsal and we steal all the scripts from the actors and tell them sink or swim, then the stage manager is the one who gets to throw out the life draft for them when they forget their line. And then
You've had to do that? Yes.
Yeah. The tricky part is you have to follow along in the script.
Closely.
While paying attention to the stage. Multitasking bee. And then once we get into production, you're pretty much in charge of everything backstage, making sure everyone gets on stage when they're supposed to. Props and costumes are where they're supposed to. And that no one gets hurt back there.
Oh, that's an important thing.
Yes.
No bloodshed.
Yep.
No bloodshed. So it sounds like a very detailed job.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But what is it about that, which you've got it down to an art form now, I'm sure, that you like, that you keep coming back to?
I like the attempt of organization because it doesn't matter how organized you think you are, it's always chaos. Yes. Because there's so many hands and so much moving around. And then just being a part of the action every single night of the show.
Yes.
And getting to see the behind stage, because backstage is just as great to watch
as
the show itself. It's a whole different beast, and it's amazing.
Yes, it is. So that's why Noise Is Off.
It's going to be a really great show because you get to see backstage.
That's right. So when is... not that I'm trying to put you on the spot, but yes, what are the dates for Noises Off?
Oh, dates for that are the end of April.
Okay.
It is going to be the weekend of April 17th to the 19th.
Okay.
And then the 24th to the 26th.
Okay.
The Friday and Saturday shows are at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
And the Sunday shows are 2 o'clock matinee.
Yes. And that is in the...
The Brick Street space out on Highway 69.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct. Can you tell our audience, make sure you tell Dan May that I plugged this, what the story is about?
Oh, I can try.
Okay.
I was caught up with stuff, so I've only been to two rehearsals. Oh. So I only know the third act. But it's basically a story about this play production putting on a show. Yes. So it's actors playing actors. The first act, you get to see their last night of rehearsal before opening night. The second act, we flip the stage around. Yes. So you get to see all the chaos of backstage during one of the running show nights.
Yes. Yes.
And then act three, we flip the stage back around and you see them doing the actual show on their very last night. And as the show continues, it just gets more and more chaotic, which is just amazing because not normally how it happens with a show. Normally your chaos ends with tech week and then by show running, you're good.
Okay, you can tell yourself that if you want to, Megan, but you're looking at somebody who did 35 years of high school musicals, and it was as chaotic. I'm sure there were things going on backstage that if I knew about, I would never have gone back. But anyway, but yeah, you're right. That essentially, once you hit tech week, and you're supposed to have all those items figured out.
Yeah, but the trick with this is personal things get involved. So then it just, everything explodes. Because we're people, and they don't know how to leave that off the stage.
So, in all the years that you've been a stage manager, have you been able to find every prop that you've needed? And what avenues do you pursue? How far will you go to get a prop?
Well, we always make it happen, yes. Yeah. So our first route is to check the props department that we have built up and stocked up through Brook Street itself.
Right.
Next, we usually will reach out to the Four City High School and see if they've got what we need. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of branch out to reaching out to family, friends, like you saw on my Facebook post, reaching out to community, like, who has a 1970s hot water bottle we can borrow?
Did you get any takers on that?
I have a couple people that are looking into to see if they still have it or if they can find where it is.
Okay. Something that people would store in the garage in a box.
Yep. And then if it's some oddity enough that it's not findable, then we usually try and find it online.
Okay.
Whether it's through an actual props website or on Amazon or Walmart. Some stuff, it's just we haven't needed it for a show yet.
Yes.
So we go out and buy it, and it becomes part of the props department.
Right.
Other times you get to get creative and do some arts and crafts.
Oh, arts and crafts. That's what you did for Nonsense.
Yes, I did that for Nonsense. Yes, I made the rosaries.
You did?
August Osage County, I made the plates that broke. Yep, because we needed breakaway plates, and they are very expensive. And not in the budget. So I made those because you don't want to use real crystal.
No.
China, because that causes injuries to audience members, which we don't want to do. So I got to. Every show I learned some new trick or trait. I mean, when I directed, I learned how to use the. Been told the name of it many times. I think it might be the miter saw, but the one that you can turn and do angle cuts with.
Okay.
I felt very proud of myself.
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't know how to use one.
Yeah.
So this is going to lead into my next question then. What did you find challenging or enriching about then doing the directing that you hadn't done before?
Challenging would be basically thinking of how I want the show to go and to be able to articulate that and explain it to the cast members on how we want it to go or, okay, cross here. Nope, I want you to come down this way instead. Mm-hmm. And it's constantly making little adjustments every rehearsal until it feels natural for them and it looks natural. Because you want it to be scripted, and you go from point A to B at this time for this many seconds, but you want it to look like a normal movement.
That's a really good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very natural movement.
There needs
and
to be.
And the show you co-directed was?
Boeing.
That yes. Very, very, very funny show.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Which is really a farce.
Yes. Yep. It's okay. A French bedroom farce. Yes. Is what it was labeled
you
as.
You have doors opening, closing all the time.
So many doors.
Oh.
So many doors. And Dan May has found a way to create even more doors for Noises Off. Oh, no. I didn't know we could top 7 doors, but he has. Yeah.
Well, I look forward to that very much. Very, 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 very much. So I hope that you will have the opportunity to direct again then.
Possibly. Yep. I'm not closed to it. I would be open to it if Linnea asked.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, anyway, with the Brick Street Theater, I don't think. Well, I guess I'm just telling our audience, which I've done before, how wonderful if you've never been to a show. For a community this size, it is phenomenal.
And we somehow always find new amazing talent.
Yes.
If not every show, then every season.
Yes.
I mean, it's just been fantastic, the new people that come out of the woodwork for every show.
Yes.
So, and it's not, nothing's really typecasted, and it's a great... Yeah. Modge podge of everything because it's not the same people every time.
No.
I mean, the last Christmas one, I was actually on main stage, which was terrifying and amazing.
Oh, that was my third point I was going to bring up. Thank you, Megan. Tell us about your experience in the Batman smell.
Junie B. Jones.
That's it. Junie B. Jones. It's last Christmas in the Bowman Center. Yes, you were absolutely hilarious.
Thank you.
Yeah. And tell the audience if they didn't go to it, what kind of character you portrayed.
I played Blabbermouth May.
I
was the counterpart to Junie B.
Yes,
who never said her name right, always tattletaled, was always a busybody, had her nose in everybody's business, and tried as hard as she could to be the teacher's pet.
Yes.
it was hilarious. It was amazing. It was terrifying. I hadn't had a lead role in probably 20 years, so I hadn't had to memorize that much in a very long time.
Oh. Was that an issue?
No, actually, it went really well.
Good.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you had a lot of lines.
There was a lot. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned it to a few different people that I'm actually kind of glad that I had never read Junie B. books because don't know if I would have been brave enough to say yes to May if I'd known how big her role was.
I get it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I'm very, very glad that I did because it was an amazing experience. Working with Melanie Slater and having the Seracio Myers direct.
Yes.
They are fantastic directors.
And you also had young children in the show?
Yes.
How many were there?
There was, I think, about 10 middle schoolers.
Okay, sure.
I think they kind of ranged middle school, high school, but Mm-hmm. The cutoff was, I want to say, 6th grade. They didn't want anybody.
Okay.
That way, height-wise, they kind of at least slightly matched up with the adults that were playing the named characters.
Yes.
So,
it was so much fun. So
it was a hoot, and the kids were great.
I bet they were. So, would you be open again sometime to being in a role?
Yes.
Go.
Yep.
Good.
Definitely.
Yes, that's wonderful. Anyway, well, they have Oklahoma's coming up this summer.
Yep, that's gonna be the summer musical.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And then.
And then the fall play is
Green Gables. Anne
of Green Gables.
Yes.
And the Christmas musical is Annie.
That's it.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Have you jumped on the stage manager bandwagon for any of those yet?
I haven't been asked.
Okay.
I don't recall who's directing Anne of Green Gables.
Okay.
I think they have a full staff for the summer one already.
Okay.
So, I haven't been asked, but I would definitely be open to, especially the musicals, because I can't sing, so I won't be on the stage. I will definitely be behind the stage, though.
You can't sing?
No.
Oh.
Sadly, I didn't get that talent.
When I was in, when I directed high school, co-directed, we had people who couldn't sing, but they were still in the show. But that's a little different situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just put them in the chorus and tell them to move their mouths.
I've been in those choruses. I was in. You have to play townsperson and music man. Just twiddled around. God. It was lots of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you can act like you're singing.
Yeah.
You know, you can still be a part of it. Yeah. So when you're not doing all of this beautiful service work for the Brick Street and working with dogs and cats and ferrets, then what do you like for hobbies? What do you like to do?
I have been getting more and more into crocheting. I taught myself a few years ago. And I've just kind of been snowballing from there. So when I have downtime, I crochet. I've probably got 6 to 8 projects going at a time.
And what are some of the things that you're crocheting?
I have made dumpster fires. I have made F-bombs. I have made cat toys.
Okay.
I have made some cardigans.
Oh, sure.
So, kind of a little bit of everything.
Uh-huh. Blanket?
I haven't made a blanket yet. I've made a yip-yip.
A yip-yip. I don't think I know what a yip-yip is.
From Sesame Street.
Oh, well.
The aliens.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite far removed from Sesame Street. Yeah. Anyway. But that, if you do have time, you like to do that.
Yes, yep. I sit and crochet.
I also remember, I thought you liked to read, too.
I do, yes. Yep. And now with the beautiful invention of audiobooks, I can listen to my book while I crochet.
Oh, of course you can.
I can multitask.
Absolutely. I think that's a multitask that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Oh, good for you. Good for you. So one of the questions before we wrap this up, Miss Megan, that I like to ask all my guests is, you graduated 20 years ago from high school, and you've stayed here in this area. What is it, and maybe you've already alluded to it, that really keeps you in North Iowa, you know, instead of going to work somewhere else in a clinic or whatever?
Probably my family, the closeness of everybody, that there's always someone to rely on, or, you know, I've been able to watch the kids grow up and go to all of their activities and see their different talents that they are creating.
Yes.
And then with the awesome outlet of having Brick Street, I've got that right here. Yes. So, yeah, just the community and the family that are all right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Well, it sounds like you have a very filled life.
I do.
Yes. And I'm so glad that you took some time out of your schedule to come and talk with us so people can know more about you. So when they go out to the vet clinic, I'm sure you must be one of the first shining faces that they see.
I am. Uh-huh. Yep.
I've not been out there because I don't have pets. So anyway, and then when they come to a show at Brick Street and they see your name, now they'll know who you are.
Yep.
If they haven't already.
If you see someone running around on stage before it started that's wearing black, it's probably me.
Okay, so with the stage managing, my final question about that, when is the most exasperating time? Would you say that would be tech week, the week before, where you try to coordinate all the lights and the sound and the props and costumes and all that?
Yeah, I would say tech week is probably definitely the most draining because you're nitpicking everything.
Yes, and it's
a lot of start-stop and, you know, making sure that the set pieces are put just right. And like you said, the lights and sounds are working correctly, the sound cues. And, you know, everybody remembers their correct entrances and that we're keeping a quick pace and all of that craziness.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that, okay, I guess I'll ask one more question. Then as a stage manager, I know dealing with high school people, and I've done one Brick Street show, but they were all amazing. They knew their lives before they came in. But do you have trouble with some adults memorizing or not getting it done? I had that quite often in high school.
I have found that there's always that like fear of, you know, you have maybe one or two people. I mean, even during Junie B,
yes,
there was a couple sections where I just, I knew the lines, but not in the right order.
Yes,
would tend to throw things off.
Yes.
And it, you get that sinking feeling like, oh my gosh, this is going to be horrible because it's never going to come together. And there is, for every show I've been a part of, there is some miracle that happens.
Yes, I believe
between
in that.
The last night of tech and opening night, that everything then just goes fantastic.
It does.
And it all clicks and it's great. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then in between the two weekends, we have what we call a pickup rehearsal.
Yes.
Which is just utter chaos. You come in and it's basically a chance to retouch up on the script because you haven't looked at it for a few days. Or not necessarily look at the script, but go over your lines and, you know, walk through your paces. But it's also a time for everybody to let off some steam. So there is... It's taken very unseriously serious.
Yeah, like, great way. Great way.
There's always goofing around, but they're on cue and you know, they'll sub in some line or name for something, but keep right on track with what the theme is. And it's great.
Yes, it is.
And it helps kind of like relieve that stress of like, huh. And then you're ready to go into the second weekend, and it goes fantastic.
Wow. Well, anyway, look forward to you with your magic skills with the upcoming show, Noises Off, which is probably one of the funniest shows I have ever seen in my life.
It's going to be absolutely hilarious.
Just, you can't stop laughing.
Yep.
So, people, if you like to laugh, you've got the show. Anyway, so thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Mr. B.
I wish you the very best success with your career and your involvement with Brick Street and your crocheting.
Yes. Thank you.
Maybe you can open a stand at the fair or something and you can share or sell your wares.
I'd have to finish things.
Oh, I see. You're like one of those, you start them and never finish them?
Mm-hmm. Get partway through and then there's a new thing that propped up like, oh, I want to try that. So then I start it. Yeah.
Well, they'll get done.
Yeah, eventually.
Well, there you have it, folks, for all you crocheters out there and you theater lovers and those who have pets. Make sure that you say hi to Megan if you see her somewhere. Tell her how much you appreciate what she does. She's a great asset to this community. And I guess I'm going to leave because I need to go out and find some more victims. I mean, people who might be willing to talk with me. And I know there are so many people that I can choose from. So I could be knocking at your door and not at 4 a.m, but I will. Anyway, enough of that. Well, thanks for being a part of Mr. B's Neighborhood, and we will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've just heard another installment of Mr. B's Neighborhood. Tune in to KIOW Mix 107.3 every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30 p.m. for Mr. B's Neighborhood. Missed a show or want to re-listen to one? Find episodes in podcast form at KIOW.com. It's located on the right-hand side of the homepage. Mr. B's Neighborhood, available at KIOW.com.